This is Jason Wetzel from downtown Fayetteville, the 100-year-old house of Lynn Pryor. We once again bring you the story of Lynn Pryor, the creative genius behind the Gilbert Theater. To understand the Gilbert is to understand Lynn Pryor. And we will talk more about his life now, and I turn it over to Lynn.
Jason, some weeks ago we talked about, my opinion, there are just two emotions, love and fear. Tonight I'd like to talk about fear a little bit before we get started in the meat of our story. Fear has many, many faces. People frequently, you'll hear people say, oh, they're the jealous type. They're the manipulative type. They are very vengeful. They are suspicious. They're competitive. They're all of that. Well, what is this? This is all fear, isn't it? And when I find myself using adjectives to describe people, I hopefully catch myself and say, it's fair, isn't it? What are they afraid of? You know, the Gilbert Theater almost did not happen.
And why was that?
Well, because my oldest son found this house for me. And I bought it sight unseen, and in 1992, flew out here, and my son had met me at the airport, brought me to the house. I was seeing it for the first time. So I bought this house sight unseen, there in California, and I got some pictures of it, knew a little bit about it, but I had no idea what condition it was in. And so my son met me at the airport, took me by a shortstop to buy a bag full of groceries, drove up to the house, handed me a key, and I walked in, and then he drove away. I was there with no car, no phone, the house is a wreck, very little furniture. No AC, it was beastly hot. And he was gone, and I wasn't going to see him. I didn't know when. Then I was just in despair. I sat out on the front porch, and just not knowing what to do, I didn't know anybody. Then I saw a man walking down the lane with a parrot on his shoulder. I probably just ran down there, and I know I did, and almost assaulted him, and introduced myself. And I told him what it was happening. And I said, I really feel like getting back on the plane and going back to California. And then he said, no, I can't remember if there was a bed in the house or not. He said, you come over to my house and spend the night in my house. And so we walked over there, just a block away. And he slept on the sofa, and he gave me his bedroom. The following morning, I was not feeling any better about the situation. And I think I need to go home and sell the house. Go back to California. And so he said, well, let's just, I was sitting on the edge of the bed and he came in and that's what I said. And he said, let's walk over there and just look at it again. So we walked in. And the lovely house and garden you see today is, I think, it was just been neglected, abused, cracks everywhere. Everything, the garden was an absolute disaster. And I stood there just kind of turning in a circle. And he said, let's just get started. And so somehow there was a step ladder, some kind of step stool, and I went over to these curtains, these draperies that were, ugly gold with shredded lining and the balance hiding the beautiful window. And I got on the step ladder, got up there, took them off the hook, and threw it onto the floor. And there's been something about that action that gave me courage. And I just said, I said to him and to myself, I said, I can do it. And from that moment on, I didn't look back. But if it hadn't been for this Good Samaritan, who and now is one of my best friends, my oldest friend, obviously, in Fayetteville, and one of my best, a person that people admire all over town. So we are starting.
Before you continue, why Fayetteville? You knew no one.
Well, I came here because my son was here.
Oh, your son was
here. I'm sorry, and he found the house for me. And I was ready for change. I was retiring in 2 years, and I was coming back. Again, the following summer, and then permanently in 1994, when the theater actually started. But he had found this house, as it turned out. It not only gave me a wonderful residence, it gave the Gilbert its first home. I remember when I first walked down to the basement, and I knew that I wanted to start a theater, and I was hoping that this space would do. So I began, it was just the biggest mess. I mean, it was. This house was built in 1926 when people had help, and there was a clawfoot tub there and a toilet, an ancient toilet, and soapstone washing tubs. And it was just junk all over and filthy. But I began pacing it off, and I could see that theater would work. So I was greatly relieved on that. Then this friend, this new friend, knew somebody who was unemployed and needed a job and had a pickup. And so his name was Paul. He came over and I hired him on the spot. And we spent the summer working on this place.
It was summer of
92. And it was no AC. It was extremely, extremely hot. I was having to make decisions right and left, and I didn't have a lot of money to spend on things. But I could see that this house that I had thought was neglected, but I didn't realize to what extent. But I like a challenge, and I love old houses and love gardening. And so Paul and I spent the summer. But Paul was of a dramatic bent. And I would be in one part of the house doing something. And I would hear, suddenly I'd hear a thing, oh my God, now what? Oh, that was my line. I'd go brushing in, I would say, now what? And he would have found something else. Grievously wrong. And finally I said to him, I said, Paul, my nerves can't take this. I want you, when you find something, do tell me about it, but don't be quite so dramatic about it. then begins my first trip to a well-known hardware store, which was at the end of the restoration and so on. I had left $75,000 there. Well, but thank God for Paul. Thank God for this new friend and Paul. We just, I don't know how much many pizzas we ate. He'd go get pizzas and go take me shopping, because I didn't have a car the whole summer. I don't remember seeing my son once that time. And these people saved me. I have to say that I've loved living in Fayetteville, and I would, of course, I didn't know what good things were ahead of me that first night when I spent the night in that stranger's bed. And I was still so ready to get back on the plane. Thank God I didn't. Not only Gilbert wouldn't be here, but I would not be sitting here today with you two dear friends. So I'm so grateful to Robert, and I have thanked him so many times in public that his friendship and help did not end with that weekend. Saw him that first week, I'd look out the window, and there he would be coming down the lane with a box on his shoulder. And he'd bring it in, and there'd be a toaster, and there would be some pots and pans, and there would be some dishes. And he helped me get things that I needed to furnish the kitchen. I forget what I was sleeping on. And so the summer went, and it turned out to be just a wonderful summer, because not only did I get my feet on the ground, and I was meeting people, and I knew that I wanted to start this theater in 2 years, and so I was just making sure I was meeting theater people somehow or other, and this man that I speak of that became so friend, such a great friend, and so I began meeting people through this great friend, this new friend. He was introducing me to people that became my good friends in the years to come. A lot of older gays. So I was introduced to that community here, and I was grateful for that. But oh, the work on the house and the garden. I was very fortunate. Next door was a family, and their son had studied landscape architecture, and I hired him to do the garden. So people look at the garden today and say, oh, what a beautiful garden. People want to get married there, and receptions there, and countless parties there. Well, let me tell you what that garden looked like. It was two-thirds bamboo, ugly bamboo. And there was junk all over from this house. Now is pushing 100 years, and so it was not taken care of for years and years, including the garden. And so I hired. So here was this bamboo taking up two-thirds of the back. And we all know about bamboo. Those rhizomes go through this subterranean, and pop up. It's just next to impossible to get rid of. So I hired this landscape architect to clean it up and then design the garden. And I was, you can see it today, those the hardscape there, the walls, every one of the plants. I can't take credit for any of it. It's Hampton Gardens was the name of the company, and Mother Nature was... It gave me what we have today. So then, but you know, as you enter the garden, you see that beautiful gate. Those of you who've been here, you've seen the. I'm very, very proud of the entrance.
And describe the entrance.
You go down the gravel, because the driveway was all chipped up asphalt. But my mentors in California when I was growing up were famous. Children's author, a famous artist, and they had just a world-class garden that I used to walk in and sit in and hear them talk about it. So that's where I got the idea, to the desire, the need to do something beautiful. So here you walk down the driveway. When I bought it, there was a privacy fence, and I had never heard that expression, name before, privacy fence. Well, okay, aren't they all? Anyway, but I hated it. It was just, it was falling down and ugly. But a friend, one of my new friends, he said, I have a stack of antique bricks, and you can have them. And so Paul and his pickup, we went over there and began gathering those bricks, hundreds of them. And they were from the Caribbean, I was told. And so we stacked them on the side of the house. Then I hired someone, a brick mason, to... But one whole wall, one whole side of the garden is a brick wall. And about 10 feet high. And I said, I want you to copy that design of the brick. And they did. And I had bought an antique gate. So if you could drive, walk down there today, you see this beautiful, I like to think, beautiful entrance.
And the gate is an antique
wrought iron. Wrought iron, yes. And our gardener says, this is my favorite job of the week, is to come here and to be in, she calls it her secret garden. So, so working in the garden, I had, and part of this is happening the second summer, Jason. And the second summer, Paul was gone, and one of my boy's best friend in California was, before he started law school, said, I have the summer, I can give the summer to you. His name was John, and he came out, we drove out together 3,000 miles, and he was here all summer. It was a memorable summer. I wouldn't have missed it for the world. But he drove very, 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 very skilled driver, but drove very, very fast, and was, but he had a Citizen band radio that he put on the top of his car. And so we were using the truck drivers in the roads to to warn us about Smokey the Bear, they called him. And he would slow down just in time not to be caught, but he was caught one time, and I said I'm not paying for this ticket, and he said, you don't have to worry, I will. So that summer was wonderful, and that's when we put in the retaining wall and did more things. So the gazebo came later. Oh, so many additions. I wish people, our audience, could see it this year. Bob has taken on much of the color and adding new plants. Bob is one really great with design, and very, very proud of it. And our Robin Parrish is going to have a wedding reception here this fall. So the garden is taking shape that first summer, the second summer. The inside, Paul and I, and then next summer, John and I, just... And then I was high. I can't do anything. I can't. I'm absolutely... This is what that first day when I was so in such despair, and the guy with the parrot saved us all. I can't even drive a nail straight. I can sweep. And I have a ready checkbook. But so this was, for me to take, someone like me to take on this house was just absolutely insane. But St. Genesius or someone was looking out for us, for me.
Because what was the driving force that kept you going?
Well, I love producing. And that's really, that's what I was doing. I was bringing in a carpenter here, a landscaper here, and you know, all these people, and using their expertise. And so I love doing that. And the house itself is just, it was a terrible shape, as I say, but it was the bones and the design. It's called Tudor English Romantic Revival. And, you know, one of those houses built in the 20s that we were still so enamored of the old world architecture. Frank Lloyd Wright was doing his thing, but in the prairies and all. But most people wanted something that was time honored and something from the old world. And I'm glad they do, because I love the old design. But I love the way the steps go down to the lane, so people feel welcome. It's an absolutely marvelous house to live in. It gave the theater its start. A marvelous place to entertain. And before Bob and I met 16 years ago, I did quite a bit of dating. And that's, we won't say any more about that. So it has given me a rich, rich life, and I wouldn't have changed that for anything. But now we're in, I'm in 23rd year here, so quite, and I'm 81 years old today. And so almost a third of my life has been spent in this house. And it's been just marvelous. The exterior was taking shape. The interior was, and I had, and I, when I got here, the joke was with my friends that Lynn arrived with his crystal in China, and that was it. And that's largely true. I had not one stick of furniture. No linens. I had nothing. So I was having to, it was like being reborn, Jason. It really was. I'd had 58 wonderful years in California. But then I called this my coming here my third act. But now I see I'm going to have a fourth act. My mother lived to be 97. And so this, I have another 50 or more years. And so it's going to be a rather briefer fourth act. But I'm so very, very grateful for this town and the people in it. For the whoever was the architect of this house, please, thank you, thank you, thank you. And for the guy with the parrot. And for all the people that have come, just like today's my birthday, and so many people, wonderful calls and cards and Facebook people saying nice things to me. So my cup really runs over. So here we are, feeling very, very sure of myself now by the end of that first summer. The house is coming along, but it still has such a long way to go. Then I took off to go back to finish my career as a librarian and children's librarian. And then back the following summer, as I say, with John. So by the end of that second summer, we were ready. My return in June of 94 to really get serious about the Gilbert Theater. And I hired a man named Charlie. Oh, for heaven's sake. It'll come to me in a minute. Retired command sergeant major to build the theater. And I was his rather inept helper. And by the end of some days the air was rather blue when I asked one too many inane questions about what was happening. But we had the plan. I still, if you go to the theater today and look at the lobby of the Gilbert Theater, the original plan is on the wall, framed. And he drew that up, and I told him, what I had to have. So he said, your stage is going to be 11 and a half by 13.
Inside.
Inside. And you're going to be able to seat 40. And I know anybody hearing that and seeing that space, they will think, how can you possibly? Well, you didn't put your feet on the stage. You attempted to, but I was always telling people not to do it. So Charlie is hired, Charlie Biddle. Wonderful guy. We worked together all that summer and fall. My job was to paint the brick. And I'm here to tell you, if you think it's easy painting old, 100-year-old brick, and I ruined more brushes, you didn't so much paint as you stippled. Mm-hmm. You just put in the paint and just go, just dab like that, and it just took hours and hours and hours, and that was about what I was able to do for the project, was do that, and all the experts were circling around me, but by the end of that fall, was built with its light booth, with its 11 and a half by 13 stage, with its dressing room, no stage left, dressing room, no stage right. Stage right was a brick wall. And the dressing room had was for props, was for makeup, and it was green room, it was costumes. The attic was costumes and more props. So this entire building was turned over to that entity known as the Gilbert Theater.